Our first Bible reading this morning is taken from the prophet of Jeremiah and from chapter 31. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And then from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a simple grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who lose their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I'll just read the following three verses of John's Gospel, chapter 12, from where Mike broke off at verse 33. Really should have carried on for two or three more verses, entirely my oversight for not checking the number on the sheet. But it continues, "The crowd answered him, 'We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' Jesus said to them, 'The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. The stage is set. The final act in the drama leading to the crucifixion. Today is Passion Sunday, the beginning of the Passion, the suffering of Jesus. And in the coming couple of weeks, at various occasions, we will think on the betrayal, the arrest, and of course, the crucifixion. News came through this week, of course, of what else also feels a bit like, at least to me, a final act in a drama, with the alleged cover-ups and corruption in the Metropolitan Police and Parliament and so on in the 1970s and 80s. And if it should soon begin to be exposed and even perpetrators brought to book, it will really seem, I think, like a final act in a drama. Jesus, barely halfway through John's Gospel, and he has already overturned the tables in the temple, and the rest of the Gospel continues in a darker, a more reflective mood, says at this point to his disciples, "The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you." A sense building through the gospel that the darkness is gathering. That from now until Good Friday, the forces of evil are mustering for one final act to try and snuff out once and for all the forces of good represented by Jesus. In our world, who knows what yet may be uncovered of the darkness, what has been called all this hidden child abuse and exploitation, the dark heart of life in England. And that's just here, never mind around the world, never mind all the injustice and the destruction and the warfare and the slavery and the people trafficking. There is plenty for us to be grateful for in our lives as we continue on in Lent, but darkness is a good word. To say nothing, of course, of the darkness within. We would like to believe that here we sit secure in our faith and the darkness is kept at bay. But we are Christian and human, and darkness is part of us. Prejudice, fear, grief, addiction, negativity, pain, mortality, and so on. I hope no one here today is feeling overwhelmed by any such things, but they are still part of our makeup. John's Gospel has what I like to call two levels. It is the story of Jesus going to the cross and talking to his disciples. And it is as if Jesus is talking to his followers in any generation about life after he is no longer visible. The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. A verse for Lent in any generation. Ours. Did you see the eclipse on Friday? Only partial in Bristol. Still, the moon cut across the sun till there was a smile of sunlight left, and the moon's shadow swept across the land. And for all that it was only partial here, still there was a real change in the atmosphere for those few minutes. The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. But look in the gospel at when this is said, the point at which our reading began. Some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip with a request, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We'd like to see Jesus, wouldn't we? All the preaching, all the Bible stories, all the claims about him and the counterclaims, and the disrespectful way in which his name is used these days by so many, and the often exaggerated claims made about him by some. If only we could meet him. If only we could see Jesus, have a chance to ask him how things really were and how we really these days should think of him. Some Greeks wanted to see Jesus. We're not told if they do, but hearing of their request, Jesus says, "The hour of the Son of Man is come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The hour is come. Do you remember the hour? We first heard about it several weeks ago at Cana in Galilee when Jesus was attending a wedding and his mother came up to him and asked him to do a miracle. And he said, "Woman, what have you to do with me? My hour is not yet come." Now, he says, the hour is come. The hour of his suffering. The whole business of Jesus leads up to his final journey to Jerusalem, his betrayal and arrest and torture and humiliation and death. You know the saying? Cometh the hour, cometh the man. When a Churchill appears to lead England through the darkness of World War II, I reckon Messrs. Clegg and Cameron and Miliband and Sturgeon, miss, and Farage are waiting. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. They must all be hoping it will be said of them that they were the man, woman, for this hour. At the coming election. Well, the man for this hour is Jesus. This is the hour of Jesus. Whatever else, what claims might be made about him, however much we might big him up, turn him into a religious fantasy figure full of power and vim for our times, never forget this is the hour of his death and suffering, the hour that begins effectively today and leads all the way to the cross. And in John, the sign that the hour is come is the arrival of some Greeks. You know that other saying? Beware Greeks bearing gifts. Troy and the wooden horse and all that. Well, this isn't quite the same, but there is a similar sense of foreboding. It is when Greeks appear, sorry Greeks, I'm being very unfair to the whole race here, nevertheless, it is when Greeks appear looking for Jesus that he realizes that the darkness is gathering and that the way is set for him to go to the cross. Why? Because the Greeks represent the whole world. In the verse just before our reading began, at the end of the previous section, some Pharisees, those Orthodox Jews who get such a bad press in the Gospels, who represent the building opposition to Jesus, they say, "Look, the whole world has gone after him." It is because of the Greeks that Jesus realizes that if his message has reached them, the whole world, then his task is completed. It's John from the very beginning. The Word came into the world, came to his own, and his own didn't recognize him. John doesn't begin by saying a prophet was coming to Israel, nor a guru was coming to tart up some middling religion. This is not our Jesus that we might want to meet as if we own him. He's not the Jesus of Christianity. He's not a Protestant Jesus, all sandals and blonde hair, or a Roman Catholic Jesus, all blue-eyed and beautiful. He is a Jesus for the world, a saviour of the whole world. The whole world was beginning to go after him. The awareness that Jesus was going to put the world to rights was beginning to dawn on Greeks, as it would in time by all. In just a few chapters further on into the New Testament, Paul reflecting on what this means. Neither Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, all are one in Christ Jesus. Neither English nor immigrant, neither European nor Asian, neither rich nor poor, neither black nor white, all are one in Christ Jesus. That is the vision we have to proclaim and live by, hard though it be in this multi-faith, all roads lead to God, don't cause offence kind of world. The whole world has been brought to the smile of God's love in Christ. The darkness of the whole world has been eclipsed by God's love in Christ. The spheres of our lives are lined up like a planetary conjunction, just waiting to know the power of God in Christ, provided that the way of Christ is the way that we follow and the way that we proclaim. And the way of Christ begins today as we follow through the rest of Lent and Holy Week, as we approach the cross, the hour of Jesus. And that way leads through the darkness. Lent is when, however much we might relish the coming spring, the time when we acknowledge the darkness of the world and of our own lives. It is a time for rejoicing at the coming of the light into the world, but whether it is the story of the disciples making their frail way with Jesus towards Jerusalem, or our own story making our frail way through the world, we are not yet at Easter. The light we see is the light of the kingdom of God shining, but the kingdom has not yet come. There will be darkness yet in the world and in our lives. In Christ, it is neither unending nor overwhelming, but as we journey on through Lent, through the world and in our lives, hold on to this. The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you.